What you are about to hear constitutes an episode of a documentary produced by myself, André Castro, about people who live and use boats inside London. The interviews and field recordings were collected during the winter and spring of 2007. Thank you to all of those who participated and collaborated in this project. Good listening. In this episode, you'll hear the interviews with Tom Swanders and Therese Lundquist.
Since September, so we're just learning. We're just learning about it, really. But it's a replica Dutch barge, or it's not, it wasn't boat builders that built this one. It was actually made by fabricators who were bored, and they had a load of time on their hands because they weren't getting any work, so they decided to build a boat just for the hell of it. So when we've had it surveyed, surveyors have said, it's a little bit strange, the shape and how it's all been put together isn't normal. There's also we've got two engines down the engine bay. So, which is another really unusual thing, and loads of boaty people that we've talked to say, oh, never do that, you should never have two engines on board, there's twice the things to go wrong, you did that. So yeah, everyone thinks we're mad for keeping two engines. But like, yeah, people, everyone has an opinion on something, and everyone wants to push their ideas forward and help you out in some way. And try. We've had so many people try and help us. Well, with this engine, broke, and there was just one bolt that needed shifting, and it took us about 12, 14 hours to get one bolt off, and we had about three or four different people come and help us and suggest new ways of getting it off. And eventually one guy sort of found the solution, and he wouldn't tell it. He didn't want us to tell anyone that he'd fixed it, just because he didn't want to show anyone up. So he said, "No, you've got to say that Katie eventually got it sorted." I mean, what else is there about the boat? Boats take a hell of a lot of maintenance. It's just you're constantly having to do bits and bobs of work on them, and we've got a diesel leak. One of the props won't go round. The water pumps all need replacing, and this is just a sort of general thing, you know, constantly having to, yeah, a constant list of jobs. That's what a boat is, I think. Constant list of jobs.
And where did you find it? How do you find it?
We'd been looking for moorings. We'd been looking for boats, because that's, you know, if you want to buy a boat, you find, you know, just look at boats for sale, and that's, but it's actually the mooring that's more important. Finding the mooring is far harder. There's a lack of moorings, especially down south. And we found out that moorings were going to cost somewhere between £6,000 and £14,000 a year for a wide beam barge, which we just couldn't afford at all. So we gave up looking for boats, and I looked on Rightmove for a house, and saw this boat for sale on Rightmove, and through a normal estate agents, and because now they're starting to, you know, estate agents are starting to sell them as well, like a normal house estate agent. And so we found it on Rightmove. Bought it through an estate agent. We ended up having to tell the estate agent how the process worked, because it's a bit different. It's a bit different buying a boat. Like when you make an offer, you have to give a deposit. You have to give normally a 10% deposit on the boat, and yeah, the estate agent sort of didn't think we should, and it's a usual thing. I'm just trying to think. But yeah, this mooring basically is it's owned by trust. This stretch of mooring, so the prices are a lot better. The only problem is they could kick you off with 3 months' notice. Just fingers crossed they don't. They are very, very rarely. There's only been a couple of people that have ever been kicked off in the past 30 years or so, we hear. So, I think the time they did kick people off, they basically just rejigged. They wanted to make all of the moorings slightly different sizes. So they did a slight rejig of all the boats, and so a couple of people just lost their moorings. Which I'm not quite sure why. Not quite sure why they did it.
But why did you decide to think about living in a boat and about one boat?
Because Katie was a chef, or is a chef still, but she was working 60 hours a week. Nights and days and weekends, and I have a sort of fairly normal 9-to-5 job, so we just didn't see each other at all. And we just decided that, well, Katie wanted to stop work, so there's no other, we couldn't afford to keep the mortgage going in our house, so we just looked for different, cheaper ways to do it, so that Katie could give up work, basically. So that's, so we have less outgoings, pay less per month.
Because that seems to be, like, for the people that have been talking, that the, one of the reasons is somehow economic. They say, well, didn't want to spend as much money, or we just want to buy a boat and then be in permanent movement and without paying the rent or something like that, paying the mortgage. But on the other hand, there's also people, like mainly retired people, that they've been telling me, well, it's something that we always wanted to do, or I always wanted to do. And when they have the chance, when they get retired, they do it.
Is it something I've not really thought about it until just a couple of years ago, and I saw that boats are, well, it's like this one is like it's fairly large, it's like a small apartment, so it's not that different to living in an apartment. We've got a bigger garden than we've ever had in the house before. So it's just getting out of the rat race, and you can live in a separate, it is like living in a separate society, a separate community, and with £1 million houses opposite, they're all paying huge mortgages for those to stay in those houses just 100 metres away, and I think they might feel a little bitter about that, I'm not sure. But to live, it's just a quieter and slower pace of life. It's just a lot, as people spend too much time working and just to pay for that house, and when you're in that house you don't use all the space in it anyway. You're just paying to have extra space. It's empty most of the time. It does seem like we've been, when we go around to people's houses, we just look at them and think, that's all that wasted space. Look, you could have another floor in this room. It's just really strange. Like, now when you get used to it, it's really quite strange.
That's true.
But the thing that gets me is like, to rehouse a load, there's loads and loads of new homes needed in London. To get a marina, all you have to have is a patch of land that you can dig a hole in, connect it to the canal in some way, and you can house 200 people. There's a shortage of moorings, so it should that's one thing that they should try, and they, I don't know who they are, the mayor, I suppose, should build more moorings, more marinas. It's just a lot easier way, because you don't have to pay for all to build a huge block of apartments and housing, it costs a fortune. But to dig a hole in the ground and put in electricity and whatever else, and phone lines, that's all you need to do. It costs us pennies.
But in the other hand, you have less stability. It's not so certain that your house gonna still be here when you come back to us.
Well, I don't know.
But you can be kicked out from your mooring.
Theoretically. You can lose it. I mean, people on that side of the canal, they can be kicked off. Like tomorrow, someone could come and say, you've been here for however many years, you should have only been here for 3 months. So that's quite a precarious. And they also don't. They can't get post. They haven't got electricity. They haven't got water. There's two different ways, I think, you can live on a boat. You have a permanent mooring with all of the mod cons. You can get your Sky TV and your electricity and your fresh water, just like a house. But you can also go off for a bit. That's a completely different way of life to the one that you have to move on every 3 months. And I don't think I could handle the one where you have to move on every 3 months. Not yet. Perhaps. Perhaps in the future.
Have you moved with the boat before?
Only to fix it. We went down to Uxbridge, which is only like half an hour drive, but it took us a whole day to get down there. And it really felt like a huge adventure going down there, and sort of a big day out, going to sunny Uxbridge. There's a lot of the boats along on this side don't move at all. They're just basically boxes, floating boxes on the water, pontoons. They will never move. But the intention is that we can take this boat into London. We can moor up in Regent's Park. I think you have to have a small charge to pay, and then we can go to the 100 Club or spend a night out in London, and then have our home to go back to. That sort of thing really appeals to me. Also being able to go off and find a sort of remote spot, have a big party there, somewhere that people can pitch tents and stuff like that. That really appeals. Play really loud music. But here, I mean, people don't seem to mind playing quite loud music. So far there's not been any complaint. I think most, there's often parties now, especially in the summer. I think because of this rain, it does get very wet and boggy, and people tend to stay indoors a lot more in the winter. But when we moved in September, it's still pretty warm. Just constant stream of people, and everyone's always outside. You spend a lot more time outside than you live on a boat, I think.
Do you think that people decide mainly to go on to live on boats and canals for economic reasons? There's something about the water and being nearby the water. Makes it special. Makes it
definitely. Different. Yeah, definitely. I mean, since Katie and I got together, we moved to Berkhamsted, which is further up the Grand Union Canal, and we had a house on the canal, or pretty much backed onto the canal, and near a lock, so we're constantly hearing that water flowing, all night. And it's so relaxing, it's so peaceful, just having the canal, walking down it in the summer, it does have a certain sort of, I don't know, romance about it. And we'd always been, since then, we've always lived really near to the canal, and so we've always been walking on the canal, it is peaceful, and any traffic on the canal goes so slowly, and you get that, there's that rhythm of the engines just ticking over as they chug down the canal. It's quite a nice sort of relaxing noise, I don't know, sound. But we've always lived near the canal, and it's great to actually live on it. But I don't know, I've never really thought about it like that before. But definitely, it is, living on the water is very peaceful. I think Katie's always wanted to live on the near the sea, on the coast somewhere. She grew up near Brighton, she really likes the sea, but. I don't know, I don't like Jaws. So. I don't really like swimming in the sea. It's never really appealed. It's also salty. I've got sensitive skin. Don't like it. Mind you, I wouldn't swim in this water. This canal water, I would not. All sorts of horrible things in there. It's pretty grotty, pretty silty.
Some people that fish on the canals.
They don't eat the fish, though.
I think he was planning to do
that. Really?
Yeah.
Well, you can't. No. I mean, I think you can theoretically you could, but you'd have to keep it in a freshwater tank for a few weeks to sort of clean it, because there's a lot of. Yeah, it tastes really muddy. Anything that you got out of the canal, any fish you got out there would just have a tainted flesh. So it wouldn't be good.
Because the water is pretty much still.
It's just, it's not fast moving enough. I think that might be one of the problems, that it's not, yeah. So it's not stagnant, but it doesn't smell, but yeah, definitely the fish in there I wouldn't eat. It's more for sport, but yeah, there's often competitions. Where we used to live in Apsley, the stretch of canal there were often like, there'd be like guys with huge great big fishing rods, like just sitting there every sort of 4 or 5 metres there'd be another one. There's about 30 or 40 on a Sunday just fishing, and I think like they do it by weight rather than size fish. There's a competition, so like they're pulling like fish out sort of a couple of inches long, and it's not. I don't know. I don't understand fishermen. I don't understand why.
Never got into fishing.
Never really understood that. But I suppose they're the same. They have that same attitude of water, that it's just a peaceful thing. That they're just, maybe it's not really the fish that's important. It's more the sort of chilling out by the canal, spending a whole day doing nothing. I think it's pretty much any bloke's dream, isn't it? I suppose, okay, I've talked myself into it. Talked myself into not thinking they're all mad.
Yeah, it's so funny that people, when, for example, when you tell people that you live on a boat, what's the reactions that you normally get?
Everyone is so interested. Everyone's like, oh, right, wow, really? Because I don't know, I suppose I have... yeah, I have an office job, 9 to 5, and people just don't expect it, and it's just really surprising. But you find out other people as well who live on the boats, and it's just, yeah, that's it's quite strange once you've sort of announced it, once you come out. Other people sort of also, I found out that our managing director is he's also a big boatman, and he renovates steamboats, and so he's really, really keen on it. And there's another couple of people that live on boats, but yeah, normally people are just really interested and keep on telling me to have a party so that they can come and see it. So yeah, summer there'll be more parties.
No one ever called you a water gypsy or something like that.
Water pikey, I think, is the... yeah, water pikey we get called. But it's in good humour. You know, it's the one we just have. I think it's quite funny. But it's much better. Well, I don't know. I sometimes feel a little bit that I'm gloating a little bit about how great it is. We've managed to sort of step away from
the
you been living in a boat? When did you?
Well, since July in 2003. So this summer it will be 4 years.
And
I bought her in Holland, but it took me a good year before I found her. And I knew that I wanted to be in London, in central London, so I had the mooring. I had found a mooring and I had started paying for it, to reserve it, a whole year before I actually had a boat. So I think the whole thing took actually almost 2 years before I was finally on the boat in London, living on it.
And why did you decide to come and live in a boat in London?
Well, I was already living in London, and in total I've been here for 12 years. And at a time I was living in a converted little garage in Chelsea with my then fiancé, and he was, or rather he still is, but he's not with me, a concert pianist. And we always had a problem of practicing late at night and disturbing neighbors and things like that. Plus, I love the sea and I wanted to move to the sea. And in the end, we both got something out of it. He got a place where he could practice undisturbed, and I got to be on the water. So, and also it is true that at the time I couldn't, with the money I had, buy a flat that we would have required, but I could buy the boat, which gave us what we needed. So that's the reason.
And I think that's the reason for most people that to decide to live on boats.
Well, the funny thing is that is how I thought about it then. It has since developed in many different ways. I mean, once you actually enter, if you already like the sea, I don't think it's only simply, oh, it's cheap, then you won't survive, you won't last it. You need more to actually be able to enjoy it and continue to live in that way. It becomes a lifestyle. But then I think there is very many different ways of defining it as a lifestyle, because it means so many different things for different people. Some people literally only come on board, as you say, because of the price. And they never grow a passion for it, and they probably don't even notice that the River Thames is tidal. They just come on and off and think, oh, that's strange. I thought the pontoon was straight when I came on the last time or something. Do you see what I mean? It's quite strange. And I mean, one thing that I was never that I didn't expect or didn't know was going to happen is that it is a completely retreat from civilization, if you wish. And maybe you've even noticed it coming on board here now. You forget about it. You can't hear a car pass. You can hear the waves. You can hear boats passing by, if anything. But the street life disappears completely. So I've always called it my little Alice in Wonderland, actually.
And that retreat, well, being a retreat to come in a boat, working as a retreat.
It's two different worlds, that's what it is. So you can cope with a busy life, because at the end of the day you come into something that is completely different. But I have to say again, there are so many different, well, types of boats, ways of living on the river or on the canals. I mean, you have the narrow boats. Some people love these very straight little boats on a canal that they can travel all the country with, and it's a very typical kind of community. And without typecasting people, it is different people that will fall for different things. I started, when I was looking for a boat, I looked on the canals, and I looked to buy a narrow boat. And in the end, I realized it was too small for me. I needed space, and I needed a long vision, so I needed a horizon. Now on the river, where we are right here, not only have I got the space on my barge, because it's a lot wider and longer, but also I come out and I can look all the way up to Canary Wharf, rather than just having a stretch of 5-meter canal when I look out from a porthole or something. And that makes an enormous difference. I love when it's wild. On the canal, the water doesn't move. Even if it's a gale, it will hardly do anything to you. And it's even lovely when you want to go to sleep. It rocks you to sleep. You see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Most of all, it's the presence of water.
Yes. But that is something I didn't think, oh, if I buy a boat and if I live on it, that is what's going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what it was going to be like. That was just a pleasant surprise. I mean, but I knew that much, that I didn't want to be in a narrow boat on a narrow canal. But for me, it was, if not the sea, which I love, then the river.
What is that love about the sea and the river? And what?
I don't know. For me, it is a kind of a freedom. And I sail as well, a lot. And I love that combination when you are a joint power with nature. In a sailboat, for example, you control because you're fighting almost against the wind, but you're with the wind, but you need to know exactly what the wind is doing in order to get where you want to get. When you have that, it's even interesting, even when you steer a motorboat or barge or like this, you're still living in symbiosis with nature because the steering wheel, or if you have a tiller, whatever you're using, you have to feel what a tide is doing in order to be able to steer her, to hold her. So you have to be very sensitive when you're in working with nature. And I say nature, but I can say the water or the winds, whatever you wish. It's a feeling of freedom. And I suppose maybe it's even basic nature. A primitiveness.
Have you traveled with your boat?
With this one?
Well, anyway.
Well, yes, I mean, I have both. I have sailed across the Atlantic. I sailed a sailboat from Sweden all the way to the Caribbean. And that was 2.5 months at sea, all the time. And this boat, this darling, I bought in Holland, so she had to come to England, so she has come under her own power. And I take her out maybe 3-4 times a year, not more, because my engine is so old that I need an engineer on board. So I have to actually pay quite a lot of people to come with me when I take her out.
What's her name?
Nooit volmaakt. And it means never perfect. Which is very appropriate, I think.
And you've been renting it to people to live in?
No, well, it was more than that. It was a couple I knew, Chiara and Emmanuel, Italian couple, and they needed something just when they were finalizing something they were buying, and I was in a position that I could give her up for them. But I shouldn't say double life, but I, for various reasons, I have not recently been living on her, but I visit her every day. Because I must see or be on the water every day, and I'm very attached to her. I feel I don't feel well if I don't see the water every day. That is my obsession with the sea. But I sail a lot as well, on top of.
Before you're talking, this place that you are now, this community, you were all gone during the summer, forced to leave. What was that all about?
What has happened is that this very, if we should call it community or moorings, it's called the Downing's Roads Moorings, and if you are interested, you can even find quite a lot about it online. It was under threat. I mean, what happened was it started with a handful of people from the river flats, and they thought the moorings being something of an eyesore, they simply didn't like the view. That's really how it started. To be generous or fair to them, maybe it was also because sometimes it's noisy because you do repairs and I mean, you can hear this in gangways squeak when it's very windy or... Anyway, it went quite far because all of a sudden every single vessel on this mooring was served with a notice that we would have to leave and that the moorings were going to be an enforcement notice. Anyway, so to make a very long story short, we then ended up in a public inquiry. And we actually won the case so that we could actually stay here. But it is far more complicated because it was attached to conditions. And we then had a planning hearing. And the planning hearing, we lost. But we appealed and got a bit better. I mean, in the end, they accepted the conditions. But it's not only the council that is involved when it comes to the river. It's also the PLA, the Port of London authorities. And there's a lot of different bodies fighting each other. And even though we won on land, it doesn't mean that we've won the case on the river. So even though these moorings now have residential status, it doesn't mean that it will last forever, because you never know. Everything is quite uncertain. And that is also why... I'm jumping. What happened was that when we finally won with conditions, the conditions were that every boat had to come further away from the shore, further away from the flats. So all the chains that are the structure of this mooring, holding the whole moorings, and the garden barges, has all changed position and come further out, further midstream of the river. And that was something that could never have been achieved if anyone was here. It was quite dangerous. Works which had to do with cranes and diving and a lot of things like that.
So just moved the whole community to the middle of the river?
Further out. And changed the actual structure. If you look at that one right outside this window, that is a structure holding barge. It's a collar barge that is part of this infrastructure. And that one was not even in this position. It was somewhere else. So the infrastructure has changed in a way that it would comply with what the council had asked for. It's still not completely over, but at least we won that battle. But so the works are still not completely finished, but at least it's safe enough for people to come back.
But it should be quite revolting for you to live in here, that you have your house is in here, and just because some people that live in front of you, like your neighbors, are upset because you live in here, and then they have to go and have to move. And
yes, I mean, it's so much time has passed since it all happened, so I'm almost beyond my anger, I'm beyond all that. I just think this is a new start, we'll try to make the best of it. But it is so that it depends who you are and where you are. If you live on your boat, then, and you tell that to someone, some people will say, oh, wow, you live on a boat, that's fantastic. God, that must be so cool. And someone else will look at you and think, oh, I can't believe I'm wasting my breath speaking to you, you little river rat. So in some cases, I have to say, it is justified, because when you live on a boat, you can literally just switch your engine on and leave. So there have been very many bad examples of some people who are completely irresponsible. They will leave without paying, and they will... So also to get marine mortgages, for example, it's a completely different story. It's a lot higher interest, because they're fearful of that you will just disappear, which you can do. And it's the struggle of some people calling people living on by just water gypsies, and there's so many different... I mean, there is some sort of discrimination in certain areas that you will come across. I have actually myself not come across it all that much, but I do know of people who've had it, and they speak of it as if it's something that happens to them daily and has done so for a long time. But yes, I don't think it is right, because also boats have been sitting on this part of the river before the flats were there. So you can't buy a flat and then come and say, or you shouldn't at least, I don't like what I have outside my window. You shouldn't have bought the flat.
And historically, it was part of the city.
I mean, that's the other thing. Historically, that's what the river is about. That's what the seas are about. I mean, you navigate, there is recreational living of some sort. I mean, even people, when they used to work on the river, they had accommodations on board. They had their whole family so that they could, and that was the way that they supported themselves. They traded with their vessels. The difference is that we don't trade anymore, but we take them out either as pleasure crafts or just simply live in them. But it's modern times and things changed. But it's equally, I think it's equally as important that you maintain an active life on the river.
You're quite active into the community.
Yes, I am. But when I say community, I wouldn't say that I'm the kind of person that will go knock on my neighbor's door every day and ask for sugar or a pint of milk or something like that. That is not my kind of role, that I interact and, let's say, intrude. It's not a cooperative. I would not call it a cooperative, and that's not the kind of person I am anyway. I am quite private, but I am more than happy to give what I can, and when it comes to boats, if a boat arrives, I will be there and help with all the lines and ropes and you name it. If I know a lot, I know how to maintain my own boat, and therefore I can be of very great help to others. And I'm talking electricity, plumbing, or treating the steel of the boat, or refurbishing a skylight that is of wood. I know all that stuff. And I like to share that. If there's something I know, I'm more than happy and glad to share it with others. Well, I like that. And the same way, well, I am, in this case, on these moorings, I'm helping to run it. So anything that is, I will even be helping to order things and making sure that people are happy. Trying to make sure that people are happy. So I'm very much involved. And I very often take the little tugboat and I drive that one if someone needs to. If it's needed, I will take that one myself.
No, I'm quite happy.
You're happy?
Yeah.
Okay.
If there's something else you would like to talk
No, well, as I said, I love boats. I love the sea. I love living on a boat. And I actually, at the moment when I'm not, I miss it. But it's my private life that... So, but I know that I will be back. And I'm planning to do a long sailing trip as well soon. So it's boats and it's the sea. And yes.
Just kind of one thing is just a curiosity. What kind of people sort of age and live
here? At the moment, and what you will be seeing is anything from Well, the youngest person is 1.5. So there are children. And the youngest child is probably about 10 years old. And the oldest person that I know, that's a tricky person, but tricky question. No, she's probably in her late 50s or something like that. So, and occupations vary completely. We have anything from, I'm a photographer, I'm an illustrator, and there's even a brain surgeon on one of the boats, and we have someone who... Thank you.